Bibles this morning and go to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Romans, chapter number 6. While you're turning, I'm going to make a weird announcement to most of you, probably almost all of you. My old lapel mic is missing from that sound booth. And so if by some chance you happen to put that in your pocket, I need that returned immediately. So that's the Lord's property. I hope you wouldn't think about stealing from the Lord or taking it. I hope you kids wouldn't be playing with it. Wherever it's at, it needs to be returned, please. All right? All right. Romans chapter 6. Let's stand together and we will read this entire chapter. And I thought about whether we would take the time to do that, but I think it's important. I will not say anything that's more important than what we'll read. So let's turn there and read together. Verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of the unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, but because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have not obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. I'm going to read that verse again. I want you to listen carefully. We're going to be dealing with this whole chapter, but I want to read this verse again and listen to what God said, not to what I'm reading, I hope you have a Bible in your hand, and you are looking and reading along with me together, and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. God gave us His Word, and His Word is how He communicates with us. And so this is not the preacher's twist on it. This ain't a Sunday school teacher's try at it. This is what God said to you. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can have a seat. Amen. Just keep your Bible open. And I'm probably going to give you half of the message this morning and half tonight. And I'm aware of tonight, a service that we are honoring the graduates. And I think this message will, I'll just be honest, I have trouble with special dates and holidays and special services, trying to weave the Bible and preaching into those. But today, I've sought the Lord all week about tonight's service. And I feel like in my heart, this message is to the graduates, not just to the graduates, but to every child of God, every born-again believer. This text, I mean, if you're lost in here, you should be able to see very clearly in just a few moments how you are lost and undone without God. So this is to you as well. But tonight, we will get into the latter part of the message, and this morning we'll get as far as we can. But on the 10th anniversary of the moon landing in July of 1979, a reporter asked Buzz Aldrin, one of the astronauts, this question. She said, "Mr. Aldrin, how far have we come? How far have we advanced in the last 10 years since the moon landing?" And his response to that reporter was a powerful statement. That's 1979. That's been a long time ago, and it's still very powerful when I read the words as he responded to her. Buzz Aldrin replied, "Well, they taught us how to walk on the moon, but no one ever taught us how to live here on earth. They taught us how to walk on the moon, but they never taught us how to live here on earth." Buzz Aldrin, that famous astronaut who got the ticker tape parades and who is lauded in folklore and one of our icons in history as an American who walked on the moon, answered this lady honestly and said, "Nobody ever taught me how to live on this earth. I spent my life training and preparing to excel to the highest, and yet I learned and skipped over how to live at base, on the base level." This famous man, this very prominent man, a man who had studied and had all kind of degrees behind his name, he answered that honestly. If you look into the life of Buzz Aldrin, he lost his marriage. He lost his children. He lost his livelihood. He lost his mind on two different occasions. Complete mental breakdown. And he never learned, he never understood how to live here on earth. And as Christian people, I believe we do a lot to try to please God and please people. But it's incumbent upon us, and it's absolutely a necessity that we learn how to live as a Christian here on this earth. And not just live, but, and this is what I'll be aiming toward, to me and to you, and I believe it's what Paul is aiming toward in as he penned these words. It's not just how to live, but how to live in victory. How to live a victorious Christian life. And I hope you're interested in that. If you are saved, you've already made it past the biggest hurdle you'll ever have to face, your sin. And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has made a way to deliver you and me from our sin and save us and make us fit for heaven. And what a miracle that is. What a wonder that is. But after that, listen, Brother Cameron, I love you. I listened to you a few weeks ago, and about every time you stand up and testify before you sing, you always talk about the Lord saving you, and that's great. I thank the Lord He saved you. Testimonies usually revolve around when God saved us, and that is a huge thing. The biggest thing that's ever happened to me is when He saved me. But we can't live there. What has God done for you in the last 10 years? What has God blessed you and helped you and grown you to in the last 10 years? I'm not saying never talk about God saving you. You should, and I praise the Lord for that. But we must learn how to leave the cross. We must learn how to get up out of the shadow of the cross and live as disciples and as followers of Christ. Amen. Amen. Had not the disciples done this? Had not they got up from the cross and left Him and went out and followed Him by faith when they couldn't see Him? We wouldn't have the gospel. Paul would have never received the gospel, but because these men were willing to get up and live the Christian life, others, as like me and you, were able to receive it. And so I believe it's critically important that we learn how to live. And I think that's what he's teaching us here, how to live in victory as a Christian on planet Earth. Have you ever felt like as a Christian, and hear me this morning, that the harder you try, the more you fail? Have you ever said this statement to yourself, I just can't live the Christian life? You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like the biggest failure there ever was at being a Christian? Well, then this message is for you. Listen, if you are saved this morning, and thank God I am. I am, and I know that I am, and that's wonderful. But I want to get past that and learn how to be what He saved me to be. And you as a Christian, if you're really saved, you ought to have a desire in you not to just exist, not to just cohabitate, but to learn to live the life that He saved you and gave you. Amen. We didn't receive eternal life when we get to heaven. We don't receive everlasting life way out there somewhere. No, when you got saved, He ushered to you and give you everlasting life.
Amen.
Jesus said, and I'll quote it again later in the message, but He said, who the Son has set free is free indeed. You're free from your sin. He's give you a life to live. I mean, not just life, but abundant life.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and commune with Him and learn how to live.
Amen.
It ain't okay for you to fail at this. It ain't. It's not good enough just to float through the Christian life and one day get to heaven and realize you never advanced. Listen, do you know how many spiritual midgets and dwarfs they are? People who was birthed, but they never developed. They still stubby and short and small. And it don't look right. It don't feel right. There's nothing right about it. You shouldn't be content being small and being undersized. Please understand, I'm not saying we ought to try to be bigger than we are. That ain't what I'm saying at all. But you ought to want to be as big and large as God has given you to be. You shouldn't, and we shouldn't be okay with living with less than He has for you. Well, I believe one of the reasons that we get overwhelmed and dissatisfied with living the Christian life is because where we're living is not satisfaction. No wonder we get dissatisfied, because we are so under where God wants us to be. There is victory. Cam said this in his testimony earlier. There is no life. Paul said, for Christ, who is my life? There is a life that's worth living. And I urge us all to look at it and learn how to be a Christian here in this world. Every Christian can live in victory. by taking the following steps. Number one, look at verse 6. There's four words I'm going to look at in this chapter, and they're all throughout this book and other books, but they're all right here in chapter number 6, and I believe that's the key and the steps that we need to take to live this life. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Knowing this, that first word's knowing, we will never be more than we know. God went to great distances to see to it you had this book called the Bible. I mean, if we had time this morning for me to tell you about the martyrs and men and women who have been butchered and bled and died and been burned at the stake so you could have a copy of His Word. Why? Because God said, I hold my Word above my own name. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, listen, we will never rise above that we know. Paul said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I want to ask you this morning, have you got the victory? Please answer this in your heart. Don't nobody stand up out loud, because I don't need to know and nobody else needs to know. But you would be in the majority this morning if you answered this the way I'm about to. Have you got victory over your sin? Have you got victory over your sin? According to the Bible, you have. But according to the way we live, most of us have not. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna deal with it right out of the Bible, but please hear me this morning. We are living so far below where He saved us to be. You do not have to be enslaved to sin. You do not have to be a servant to sin. He has delivered you from sin. I love the knowings. He said, knowing this. There's several of those in the Bible. Knowing this. I'll give you a couple of them. 2 Timothy 1:12, Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Here's another one that you all know well, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly houses of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then one last one, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, ain't you glad you ain't all you ever going to be? Yeah. Ain't you glad God's still working on you? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, back to the text, he said, knowing this, I've read it two or three times already, but it's worth repeating, that our old man is crucified. Not that he was or not that he will be, but that he, present tense, is crucified. So we rejoice in the fact that Jesus was crucified 2,000 plus years ago. And I do rejoice. Ain't you thankful? Jesus left heaven, came to this world, robed Himself in humanity, and walked as a man, lived as a man, perfect, sinless, spotless. But then He chose to lay down His life on Calvary's tree, and He died and bled for me and for you. Thank God. I rejoice in the cross. I glory in the cross, and I'm so grateful that He died. But please hear me. Hear me this morning. We fully believe and have faith in the fact that Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. I do believe that. If you're saved, you believe that Jesus died on a cross over 2,000 years ago. Don't you believe that? You can't be saved if you don't believe that. You can't be saved apart from the death of Christ. You cannot be. That's part of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. You can't skip that. You can't skip the cross and be saved. So that tells me this morning, if you are saved, at some point in your life, you had to place your full faith, belief, and trust, and place your confidence in the death of Christ. That it happened just like He said it did. That He shed His blood for your sin. That He paid the price and assuaged the debt, satisfied the holiness of God on your behalf by shedding His blood. You believe that, don't you? But hang with me. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. You wasn't there. You didn't hear the clatting of the nails and the hammers and the nails beating into His head. You didn't see them cut His side. You didn't see the crown of thorns on His head. You didn't hear the crowd crying, "Crucify Him! Crucify!" You wasn't there. Yet you believe. Amen. Right? I hope you do. If you don't, you ain't saved. You cannot believe anything but the death of Christ for the payment of your sin. That's it. And so we believe that by faith, don't we? Stick with me. We also trust and believe and have faith in the fact that because Jesus was crucified, that He died on the cross, shed His blood, paid for our sin, was judged for our sin, and was brutally beaten, stripped, spat upon, we believe it. 2,000 years. But we don't just believe that. We believe that because He did that, and laid His life down, and because of the fact that He really loves us and gave His life for us, that we have full confidence in the fact that when we see Him, we will be received of the Father because of that. So I'm talking about a stretch of thousands of years, way back to when He actually was crucified, all the way forward in future time until we stand before Him. And I have all the confidence in the world that that happened 2,000 years ago will still have the power and promise to carry over to when I stand before the Lord, that He will receive me and say, because of the death of my Son and the payment that He made and the love that He had for you, and you put faith in Him and in that cross, I receive you. I got confidence that that's going to happen. I've staked my whole eternity on the fact that when Jesus died, He died for me, and that's all I needed was the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. I have faith in that. Absolute faith in that. And since He did, listen, since Jesus did die for you, and since you are going to be received of the Father when you stand before Him, does it not bother you? That's talking about sanctification. Just talking about justification when He paid the price and done all that had to be done to please the Father, where He could justify us, take wicked, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners and make us just in the presence of God. Holy God. That's justification. And then we talked about how in the future, how He's going to glorification, when we will enter into the very presence of God Almighty Himself in heaven. Glorification. When we receive our new bodies and that's, oh, what glory. And I have faith, full faith, that's going to happen. I have full faith way back there that did happen. That's the two spectrums of justification and glorification. But where are we now? Right in the middle. Not in the future, not in the past, but right here. And if you read the Word of God, you will see there is a progression. To those He called, He justified. And to those He justified, He sanctified and He glorified.
You can't have part without the other. You can't be called without being justified, and you can't be justified unless you get sanctified, and you can't be sanctified unless you get glorified. It's all one and the same. If you get in part of the process, you get in all that process. You don't get halfway saved. You don't get partially saved. You don't get saved this time and you're going to need it again next time. No, it's once and done, once and forever. We just read it. He died once. There's a reason for that. Because once was all it took. Where the blood of goats and bullets could not do what they had to go time and time again, the blood of Jesus did do at last from now till Jesus comes and then throughout all eternity. Right? So back to where we are. You say, what does that got to do with how I live? Well, we went back 2,000 years and looked at justification, and we went forward, no telling how long, at glorification, but sanctification. How can we believe God and believe that His death was enough to make black wicked sinners heaven bound? And how can we believe God that He could justify us and that He will one day glorify us, and yet we don't believe that that cross has the power, that cross has the power to sanctify you right now? It absolutely does. It's not a different doctrine. It's the same doctrine. If it had power to stave off the devil and the demons of hell to rescue you and redeem your wicked soul, it has power to deliver you right now. Amen. And to make you not a serpent of sin. Amen. Yes. I have to hurry. If y'all act like you're getting this, I'll preach faster. So, I hope we believe in the justification and the glorification, but we must believe right now. We are living in the right now. Listen, thank God for the sweet by and by. But we are living truthfully in the nasty now and now. And you know how dirty it is down around your place. See, we glory in the cross. And we sing about the cross and we'll wave our hands as we should. Paul said, I glory in it. Hey, but listen, can I remind you how dirty that day was? You hardly hear about the dirt and the stirred up dirt of the trampling feet and walking through and the crowds as they yelled and screamed. I mean, there was dirt piled up everywhere and it caked into his wounds. And there was blood splashing everywhere. There was sweat even before he got on the cross. Sweat as it was, great drops of blood. I'm saying it was a dark, dirty day when he was dealing with our sin. And it's a dark day in our life when we deal with sin. And it's dirty. I mean, listen, I'm not going to get up here and announce, okay, this morning, this were my sins. From the time I woke up this morning at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, whatever time it was, and start naming them out one by one. It's none of your stinking business. Say, come on, preacher, just give me a look. No, I'm not giving you nothing. Nada. Zilch. Niente. No. And I don't have to. And you don't have to give it to me. But the truth is, we know by our nature that we are filthy, wretched, vile sinners. Listen to me. I got to hurry and thread this needle this morning. I'm preaching on how do we live. How do we live victorious here on this earth? I believe with all my heart that we as Christian people have forfeited to the devil in this world just living a mediocre, sinful life. I believe that. When's the last time you heard somebody in church come down and weep their way to an altar and cry and beg for forgiveness as they repented of their sin and stand up and testify, I'm giving this up to the Lord. I'm giving this sin to the Lord and I don't want it anymore. I'm washing my hands. And people getting delivered and free from sin they've been living with. That used to be a very productive, positive thing that would happen in the local church. When people would stand up and and pledge before God, I'm laying this sin down. I'm not touching it anymore. And I want to live holy and right before the Lord. Now, you may tell you why I believe we never hear that no more. Because I believe we've took hook, line, and sinker from the devil this lie that we're living as good as we can. And that's as good as you can be. Because you are a sinner deep down inside. You are a wicked, rotten sinner, so get used to it. You're going to sin. And I know, listen, I'm not preaching sinless perfection this morning. I know if anybody in here knows we can sin. I know I can sin. I know what I'm capable of. But that don't mean that I got to forfeit my right as being a blood-washed child of God. I've got to forfeit and just wave the white flag of surrender to the devil and to the world and my flesh and say, well, since I am a sinner, I might as well just sin. What did Paul say? God forbid. God forbid. Could I get a corporate amen from the whole church and say we have just given way to more sin in our life and just said, I guess that's how it is. How do you think that's working out for the church? Listen, no wonder. No wonder Jesus said, when I return, will I even find faith in the earth? No wonder the Bible says that it's going to be a lukewarm church and you won't be able to tell between cold and hot because everybody's right in the middle. No wonder the Bible says it's going to wax colder and worse because the church has less and less of an influence because we've become like the world. The truth is, and I know this ain't popular, but God bless you, I didn't come for a popularity vote this morning. Listen to me. If you took the church and you took the world and you throw them into one barrel and shook it up real good and poured it out for everybody to see, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between where the church is living today and the world today. And that's what God, that's what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, God forbid. Not, listen, the same Holy Ghost said, when you sin, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father and gave us a way out of sin when we do fail. It's the same God. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same God saying, don't sin. You don't have to be a servant to sin. You don't have to be in bondage to sin. It's the same one that says, I will bail you out. I will forgive you. I'll rescue you when you do fail and when you do fall. But it shouldn't be your mentality. It shouldn't be that you're okay with it this way. You can't be okay with just living where you are. That is not living a victorious life. We got to want more than what we have. We must demand more of ourselves. You say, well, how do I do that? I'm getting there fast as I can. We struggle, and we just can't make ourselves believe that there is enough power in the cross, enough power in the death, in the payment for our sin, to live in victory over sin. Not in heaven, but right now. We don't struggle believing that He died. We don't struggle believing that He's going to, let us say, enter in because He died. But we do struggle that it's powerful enough to deliver us right now from the sin that's seemingly attached to you. And I don't have to call its name, because you know what it is. The Holy Spirit of God is faithful to reprove and rebuke. And you know what your sin is. You don't need me to tell you what your sin. What? Listen, and our sin ain't the same. You know this. You may have a problem with a sin I don't have. And likewise, on the other end, same. But I'm saying, you should not be okay with your sin. I should not be okay with my sin. But we've all got to a place where we've learned to live with it. And we throw our hands up to God and say, why ain't you blessing me? Why ain't the church has more power? Why won't the preacher preach better? Why don't the choir have the juice on it when they sing? I mean, why ain't they anointed? Why don't we see people falling in the altars and getting saved? I'll tell you why. Because God is grieved in the heart that we've took on the mentality and cheapened, listen, this is the message, and cheapened the blood of His Son. Because when we say, oh, I believe He died, I believe He's going to accept me because of His death, but we don't say His death and His blood ain't powerful enough to deliver me now, we cheapen His blood and His death. And say it's not powerful enough. It is powerful enough.
Amen.
It is powerful enough. You do not have to be a servant to sin. You do not have to be a servant to the devil. You don't have to be. I believe that, listen, it's a slap in God's face and demeaning to His Son, disrespectful for us to treat the Lord Jesus, because in essence we are saying His death, His blood, His payment was insufficient. And it's not enough to give us victory over our sin. You say, well, I just can't. I know that mindset. I know that mentality. I just can't live it. You're right. You can't. And I've took all morning to get to this point, but you cannot live the Christian life. And you don't have to. Quit trying to live something you can't. Listen, the Christian life is not a hardship. It is not something that you might one day get to. No, it is an impossibility. You cannot live it. Yes, I'm up here, I'm the preacher, and I'm telling you, you can't live it. Come to grips with that. And He don't expect you to. Jesus was dying and did die to live His life through you. You can't live it and I can't live it, but Jesus can. And only Jesus can. That's right. Jesus gives us the recipe and the remedy for a victorious life over sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Listen, that verse said that the body of sin might be destroyed. I don't see many bodies of sin destroyed. I see a lot on Showcase. I see a lot of them standing behind a microphone glaring out, and it's fluorescent everywhere you look. But far as being destroyed, how many bodies of sin have you seen destroyed lately? Even in the mirror. And I almost heard some amens when I said, how many have you seen? Until I said, look in the mirror. Because we all deal with it. The old man is, and that's the key, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Listen, you say, well, this is depressing. You done told me I can't live it. You done told me how bad I am. You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You don't have to wait for some great revival. You don't have to wait for a great evangelist to come in and deliver some new message that'll tickle your ears or touch your heart. You don't have, hey, Jesus has already provided everything you need.
Amen.
To live the Christian life.
Yes.
You don't have to wait any longer. It's already here. Everything you'll ever need, you already have if you're saved.
Amen.
That's right. So why? How? When? Why? Because Jesus was crucified. That's why. Why are you saying I can live victorious over sin? Because He was crucified. That's why. How? That old man is crucified with Him. The verse said, our old man. That old man that used to raise every morning and dictate my life and call the shots in my life. That old man who loved sin. That old man who would crave the desires of this world and would chase after the lust of the flesh. Hey, listen, that old man was crucified with Him.
Amen.
When He was crucified, my old man, that lover of sin, was crucified. Therefore, he's dead. Yes, he's dead until we resurrect him and let him live. Free in our life. When? Why, how, but when? The Bible said, is crucified. He is present tense. Right now, the old man is crucified. Do you believe that? Paul said this It's my last verse. I love it. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let that verse, read it over and over and over until God turns a light on in you. Hey, listen, we shouldn't only get happy and rejoice and praise the Lord when we hear about heaven. No, friend, I thank God for heaven. What a wonderful time that's going to be. But listen, as I said earlier, God's already given me eternal life. I mean, heaven's going to change my address, but God's already given me a whole lot of what he's going to give me. People think, when I get to heaven, this is going to change everything. I'll shout up there. I'll praise the Lord up there. I'll worship up there. If you don't worship here, I doubt you'll worship much up there. Because all that's changing is you're going to get a new body. Thank the Lord for that, but that ain't going to make you worship more. The reason you are not worshiping now ain't because your knees won't bend. Ain't because your hands won't raise. It's because your heart, not your hands. Amen. So rejoice in him. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to receive victory. You heard, I'll close with this, but you heard that old missionary to the Indians here in America, the Indian tribes, and he asked that one of those Indians had been saved just a month or so, I mean, just a new convert. And he asked, how you doing? How's your Christian life going? And he said, I feel like when I wake up in the mornings, there's a fight going on. There's a battle between a white dog and a black dog. And the preacher asked him, said, well, which one wins? And as you've heard over and over, the Indian replied, the one that I feed the most. And that's so true. But listen, I'm not nitpicking, but that is not scriptural. They ain't two dogs in this fight that's living. The only way you could really make that analogy would be to say there was two dogs, and because the way he put it, it's like you wake up in the morning and you got a 50-50 shot of being victorious today. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's a 50-50 shot. If I feed my flesh more, it's going to win. If I feed... No, listen. The only way that analogy works is for you to say in your mind, and this is, I'm talking about number one, is knowing. Is knowing. We got to know what we believe. And the only way to make that analogy is this. Listen, there is a great big white dog. And he is ferocious, and he's a Great Dane. I mean, he's a giant of a dog, and he's purebred, and he's... But that, then there's another little black dog, and it's just an old dead chihuahua. Number one, I don't care how big that chihuahua thinks he is, that Great Dane's going to bite him in two. That's just a reality. But as if he needed any more losses in his life, that chihuahua not only is a tenth of the size of the Great Dane, but that chihuahua ain't breathing. That chihuahua can't even bark. That chihuahua can't move. That chihuahua's dead. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying to you, the old man, the black dog in that story, the old man is dead. He don't have power over you. He cannot raise up in the morning and fight with you. If you reckon him to be dead, you got to know, not just, you say, I believe the truth. I don't know that most people do believe the truth. I believe most people believe what they know to be truth. But most people don't know the truth. We have believed so many things and been taught to believe so many things that just ain't true. It just ain't Bible. Your old man has been crucified. He's dead. He didn't live. And you need to know that. Victory was won at Calvary. And you've heard this and you know this, but listen, we are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Victory was won already. When Jesus died, he died for you. Not just for your sin, not just for you to go to heaven, but he died to give you victory. Not way out yonder, but right now. You don't have to be enslaved in sin. It does not have to be. And Paul began this saying, knowing this. You must know this. You must. And when your flesh says, nope, that ain't right. And the Bible talks about how we are to bring every vain imagination down. Do you know what that Greek word for imagination is? I can't remember either. You just stole it from my head. No, I'm just kidding. Hush a minute. It was almost back around, JD, and you messed it up again. I'm just kidding. Logikos. Logikos. And what does that sound like? Logical. Logikos is where imagination. And you know, most Christian people live in their imagination, what they think it is, how they imagined it to be. And that determines whether they in defeat or in victory. That determines whether they are striving and walking for the Lord or whether they down and overcome and overwhelmed because they have in their mind figured out a way that it should be and got away from the Word of God of how it is. And the Bible says clearly, pull down your vain imaginations. Pull down your logic. Pull down your reasoning. It ain't that way. Clearly, the old man was crucified. He's dead. Therefore, you have victory if you want it. But it don't just happen. He goes on to say, and I'm not going to deal with this morning. Come back tonight and you'll get how to do it. I just basically described what you are and what I am this morning. But the old man was defeated and destroyed at Calvary. And I see your wheels spinning in your mind. I see you thinking and saying, how could that be? I've tried to live it and I just... It's like the harder I try, the more sin rages up in me and gets wins. You ever feel that way? Right here in this chapter, I promise you. I promise you. I close with this. Everybody, look up here at me just for a moment. Milton Taylor, y'all know Brother Milton Taylor. He's one of the godliest men I've ever known in my life. And I've met a bunch of men and a bunch of good, great men. But Brother Milton Taylor, he's real. He's genuine, humble, and holy. And he says over and over from the pulpit, and he said to me personally, I can't tell you how many times, how I should live in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 and stay there and don't leave there until God turns the lights on. Until you see this truth, don't leave it. Stay there and meditate and muse on these writings. And this is the secret. And not just Brother Milton Taylor, but I can tell you seven or eight other great godly men who said when God turned the light switch on to these verses, it changed their Christian life forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. That ain't by happenstance. That ain't just a one-off. That's bunches of great godly men who said, thank God for the day I was saved. Thank God for the day God called me to preach. And all those were great. But God changed my life forever when He revealed to me the truth of these verses. And over, I'm telling you, tonight we're going to jump right back in tonight. We just looked this morning at knowing this. Back up in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Look down in verse 11, and we'll pick up here tonight. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll just say this, and we'll go. Have you ever heard somebody say, is it going to rain today? Oh, I reckon. You going to eat after church this morning, preacher? I reckon so. I better be going to eat pinto beans and cornbread. Yeah, I reckon. Means maybe I will, maybe I won't. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. That is not the word. In the early 1600s, when English was at its purest form, reckon is an accounting word. And you think about that. And I'm going to pick up there this evening. It ain't what you think it is. It's way more than you think it is. And then after we look at how we're to reckon it so, and we must know it, And we must reckon it so. And then number three, there's another word that's found five or six times in about three or four verses. And it's the word yield. Yield or yielded. And then four or five more times, there's another word that we'll close with. And that's the word obey. Knowing. Reckoning. Yielding and obeying. I plead with you. Go home and read today a couple of times. It ain't but a few verses. And read Romans chapter 6. Just, I believe, 23 verses. That's all. 23 verses. We read it already this morning. Go meditate on it today and come back tonight, 6 o'clock. And we'll have our graduation service and go further in the Word of God. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd touch your word, God. Help it, Lord, to go forth in power and demonstration. God, I pray you'd find a lodging place. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, God, for being crucified and allowing me to be crucified with you, Lord. Not just being crucified, but, Lord, being raised from the dead in power and victory. And you give us victory then. God, you have victory for us now. Make this truth come alive to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty. Shake hands.